This is Murder Bucket. Good evening, Murder Bucket family, and welcome back to Tuesday. As most of you noticed, we didn't have an episode last week, and that was mainly in part because it was my 34th birthday, and I didn't want to record an episode on my birthday. I just wanted to chill and hang out and do absolutely nothing. Let's go ahead and do a quick week/weekend update. Last weekend, it was Easter, and on Saturday, our church hosted an Easter egg scramble. And what they do there is they gather thousands and thousands of plastic eggs and spread them out all throughout the parking lot. And they divide the sections up by age group. So you have, I think, 3 and under, 4 to 6-year-olds, and then 7 and up. And they essentially just release children on the parking lot. You collect as many eggs as you want, and then you go off to the side on the curb in the parking lot, and then take all the candy out of the eggs and put the eggs back into like little plastic buckets, and then they do it all again the next year. Then we had our Easter Sunday service at church and went over to our family friend's house, where she had another Easter egg hunt with about 1,000 eggs. And of course I'm exaggerating, but it was a ton of eggs for just one tiny human. She gathered as many up as she could until she kind of got bored with it. And then, of course, all of our friends helped kind of get all the rest of them. And she got an Easter basket from her auntie. She got an Easter basket from auntie's brother. She got an Easter basket from us. And she got an Easter basket from another person. So in total, she got so many toys, so many clothes, and so much candy, to where I brought some of that candy to work to share with my coworkers. We have another installment in our Last Supper series tonight, and we are discussing Eric Nance. I do want to let you know that we have about 15 more cases to discuss in this series before we wrap up, and I would like to hear feedback from you if you would like to go into another series or if you are interested in more individual cases. Maybe we could do a specific series on serial killers or specific cases in different regions, or maybe just female cases. Or we could go ahead and do another theme like we did on the food series or the cult mini series. Or again, if you're just interested in hearing individual cases that don't necessarily go together. I will probably make some sort of post on all of our social media accounts. And that includes Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now TikTok. Stick around to the very end as we have a True Crime News Corner March edition. Let's go ahead and get started tonight. We have little to no background information for Eric Nance, except that he was born on January 9th, 1960. Let's go ahead and jump into why he ended up on death row. On October 11th, 1993, 18-year-old Julie Heath was driving on U.S. Highway 270 near Hot Springs, Arkansas, to visit her boyfriend. Her car broke down on the way, so she pulled off to the side of the road. Eric was also driving on U.S. Highway 270 and noticed her. He decided to pull over and assist her. Once he realized that he couldn't do anything about her car, he offered her a ride to Malvern. She agreed to get in his car, but be driven to her boyfriend's instead. But that never happened. Eric sexually assaulted her and killed her by cutting her throat. Later that day, Eric was seen at a gas station wearing no shoes, socks, or a shirt. The gas station clerk noticed that there was a dark, damp stain all over his overalls, but wasn't 100% sure what it was. Julie's body was found on October 18, 1993, by a hunter. When the police arrived, they noticed that her body was still fully clothed, but her belt was undone and her pants were halfway zipped. Her shirt was also inside out and torn. She was taken to the medical examiner, who performed a full autopsy. He reported that her socks and underwear were also inside out and that she died from her throat being cut. There is no information online as to how Eric was connected to Julie and how police were able to track him down and pin him to the murder. He was arrested 2 days after her body was found and brought back to the police station for questioning. He claimed that he killed Julie on accident. During a search of his pickup truck, pubic hair that was genetic match to Julie was found. During his trial, Eric's brother and sister testified that the story that they were told was that Julie became hysterical after she saw the utility knife and began to kick him. Putting his hand up to stop her, he accidentally lodged the knife in her throat. First off, how do you accidentally lodge a knife in someone's throat? That just doesn't seem plausible. Eric was found guilty on capital felony murder with attempted rape as the underlying felony. During his sentencing trial on March 31, 1994, it was revealed by the prosecution that 5 months prior to Julie's murder, Eric had been released from a 22-year sentence for beating two Oklahoma girls in 1982. No mitigating circumstances were found, and the jury recommended Eric be sentenced to death. His lawyers attempted to argue that it would be unconstitutional to execute him on account that he was mentally disabled. A psychologist stated that his IQ fell below 70. However, during his trial, a psychiatrist testified that he had an IQ of 105. They also tried to argue that the medical examiner did not receive a 100% positive match for the pubic hair that was found in his truck. Neither of these arguments mattered as the judge upheld the death penalty sentence. On November 17, 2005, the Arkansas Parole Board recommended that Governor Mike Huckabee deny clemency for Eric. His execution was only briefly stayed on November 17th by the United States federal judge, James Moody, but was vacated by the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals on November 19th. So what was Eric Nance's last meal? He asked for the following: 2 bacon cheeseburgers, French fries, 2 pints of chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, and 2 Cokes. I can't really argue about the last meal request. There's honestly nothing bad about it. I personally would not be interested in trying to eat 2 cheeseburgers, let alone 2 pints of ice cream. If it were one of everything, then probably, but that just seems like a normal meal to me. This just seems like slightly too much. Let me know if you would be able to finish all of this food. Eric was originally supposed to be executed at 8 p.m. on November 28th, but it was temporarily stayed by Justice Clarence Thomas, who wanted to have more time to review his case. Justice Thomas was responsible for reviewing emergency cases in Arkansas at the time. His stay of execution was short-lived as all appeals with the Supreme Court were denied. Eric Nance had no final words before he was given the lethal injection and died at 9:24 p.m. on November 28, 2005. And finally, this is the only instance where Eric shows up in pop culture. Irish tenor James Nelson began a decade-long correspondence with Eric starting in 1995, and with fellow Celtic tenors Niall Morris and Matthew Gillison, they set one of Eric's poems to music and entitled it Eric's Song. His song was released on their album titled Remember Me. And that is the story of Eric Nance. Let's go ahead and move on to
True Crime, True News Corner, True News Corner, True News
Corner. Multiple people were taken into custody in connection with the discovery of human remains in Babylon Village on Long Island. Police state that they know the body parts that were discovered belonged to a 59-year-old woman and a 53-year-old man. All of it is connected to a house on Railroad Avenue in Amityville where police executed a search warrant. The body of a woman strangled to death in Olive Branch, Mississippi in 1985 has been identified as Lori Ann Mueller Pinnell. Her only living relative was notified. A New Mexico jury found Rust Armor Hannah Gutierrez Reed guilty of involuntary manslaughter and not guilty of tampering with evidence after deliberating for only 2.5 hours. She faces up to 18 months in state prison and will be sentenced later. A jury convicted James Crumbly of involuntary manslaughter in connection with his teenage son's deadly shooting in 2021. After 10 hours of deliberation, the connection marked the first time in the U.S. that parents were held criminally responsible for a mass school shooting. He faces up to 15 years in prison per the four counts of involuntary manslaughter, each one representing a murdered student. Scott Peterson returned to the courtroom. Earlier this year, the Los Angeles Innocence Project took his case, requesting to look at some of the evidence used in his trial. The group files motions in the case for a post-conviction discovery, sealed court records, DNA testing, and exhibits in support of DNA testing. A hearing will take place in April and another one in May. An inmate set a fire that injured three prison guards in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. This forced the evacuation of a housing unit. The flames were quickly extinguished. A teenager was arrested after deputies said he pulled a gun out at a crowd of spring breakers at a crowded Florida beach. The 16-year-old brought drugs and a gun to Volusia County during spring break and will now face adult charges and serious consequences at his reckless actions. Crystal Candeliro pleaded guilty in February to one count of aggravated murder and one count of endangering a child in a deal with prosecutors that dropped two murder counts and a felony assault charge after she left her 16-month-old daughter in a playpen while she went on vacation. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. More than a half a century after Maryland high school student Pamela Conyers was found strangled to death following her disappearance from a local shopping mall, law enforcement officials announced that they finally solved the case. Forrest Clyde Williams III and Donald Willard were both identified as suspects. Unfortunately, both are deceased. Hunter L. Ward was sentenced to 20 years in prison, and Jeffrey Middleton was sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison for torturing two black men last year in a brutal attack that began on the basis of race. The Los Angeles Dodgers interpreter for Shohei Ohtani was fired after questions surrounding at least a $4.5 million in wire transfers were sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmarking operation set off a series of events. Skylar Meade escaped custody during a medical transport after he injured himself in prison. The transport was about to return him to prison from St. Alphonsus Regional Center in Boise, Idaho. He ambushed the transport and shot two officers. A third corrections officer was shot by Boise police on arrival. He and his accomplice escaped in a Honda Civic and are suspected of killing two adult men in separate locations before being recaptured. A cargo ship lost power and rammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, destroying the span in a matter of seconds and plunging into the river. Six people were missing and are presumed dead. The ship's crew issued a Mayday call moments before the crash. Thousands of people linked arms across Nashville, forming a human chain on the one-year anniversary of a shooting at the Covenant School that killed 3 9-year-old children and 3 adults. The event organized by gun safety advocates included families from the school and children who were in the building when their classmates were shot. Crypto entrepreneur Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison for a massive fraud on hundreds of thousands of customers that unraveled with the collapse of FTX, once one of the world's most popular platforms for exchanging digital currency. Jerry Hernandez, the driver of a concrete truck who admitted to using cocaine hours before causing a March 22nd wreck that killed 2 people, including a child, in a Hayes School District bus, has been charged with criminal negligent homicide. Dozens of worshippers died after a bus headed to an Easter conference crashed in South Africa's Limpopo province, the latest tragedy in a country where recent road accidents have led to multiple casualties. The crash claimed the lives of 45 people, and the solo survivor, an 8-year-old girl, was airlifted to the hospital with serious injuries. And that concludes tonight's episode. Please take a moment to listen to this promo from my friends at the True Crime Island podcast.
Do you get mad when listening to true crime? Well, so do I. If you want a weekly true crime podcast that says what you're thinking, then grab a beer and pull up a deck chair. This is Cambo from True Crime Island, another true crime podcast, and maintain the rage with me. Visit truecrimeisland.com where you can download or stream each episode. Plus, there's links to iTunes and social media. And as I always say, don't forget to delete your browser history. This is True Crime Island.
Thanks for listening. Catch us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all your Murder Bucket updates.